Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
9565. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio on a Tuesday afternoon. Day two of Life Without Kevin Hurd. Day two of a show in crisis. Yeah, for some reason, Kyle and I don't seem to feel the crisis as much as everybody thought we would. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. I noticed when we were talking to Pete, we had a call from Williamsport on the line. We'll try and get that call back. Also, later this hour, Ron Musselman will join us, and we'll talk to Ron extensively about Penn State football and about what he's seen so far. You know, the media will get another glimpse of practice tomorrow. Get them in there, and we'll at least get a read, and the media will get a read as to how things have progressed to this point. What questions do you have? Well, it's interesting because we're talking about Pete brought up an interesting point that he's concerned after watching Charlie Weiss at Notre Dame. Bill O'Brien's not Charlie Weiss. Now, Charlie Weiss, to his credit, was an outstanding play caller, had a great feel. And Bill O'Brien stepped into the Patriots' job first in quality control, then receivers, then quarterbacks and offensive coordinator after Charlie Weiss had exited. So they weren't even together at any point. They were not together at any point. So, they're different personalities. They're different kinds of guys. And you look at what he does with his offense. And just as something I pointed out very quickly in the last segment, give credit to the talent of the three guys I'm about to mention. Give credit to the talent of the quarterback, but let's also give a lot of credit to the scheme that put the quarterback and the receivers in this particular position. Wes Welker was number one in the NFL last year in yards after the catch. Rob Gronkowski was number four in the NFL in yards after the catch. Aaron Hernandez was ninth in the NFL in yards after the catch. No question the talent of Brady, Hernandez, Gronkowski, and Welker have a lot to do with that, but the schemes that put them in spots to make those plays, find the openings, dissect those openings. You only get yards after the catch with openings. Because what's interesting is that those are not the three greatest speed merchants in the NFL either. Those are not the three greatest speed merchants in the NFL either. You're not talking about blazing speed between Welker, Gronkowski, and Hernandez. You're not talking about blazing speed. All right, number 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And that's what I find most intriguing about all this. Again, Welker is really quick. I talked to Sean Lee. And, of course, Sean now plays for the Dallas Cowboys, and they played the Patriots. Sean told me, he says, Welker is incredibly quick. And there's no doubt for his size. Gronkowski certainly has great speed, but this is not the speed of a Steve Smith of the Carolina Panthers. These are guys that he finds the right mismatches, he exploits it, and he does a great job of finding the openings on the defense that create yards after the catch. Now, Penn State had great yards after the catch in the middle 2000s. Jordan Norwood, Deion Butler, and Derek Williams. Penn State had a lot of yards after the catch in those years. A lot of yards after the catch in those years. And made a big difference. And, you know, in 5, 6, 7, and 8, those 4 years, Penn State had a lot of yards after the catch. And But last year was more of station to station. Let's go to Pat in Sealands Grove. Hi, Pat. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve. I've met you, and I do part stuff with Eagle 107. I do the Sealands Grove football, so I've been wanting to give you a call. It's been a while, but I'm just listening to the topic now, and actually the gentleman who called about Charlie Wise, he makes a great point, and it's a point I had been thinking about. But I even take it a little step further with McDaniels, also the other guys who have been New England guys and then left to try to go be a head coach.
Romeo Crennel, Josh McDaniels,
And I'm a Notre Dame fan, but also I've grown to be a Penn State fan since I live in the area and grown to respect and love Penn State as well. So I'm hoping for great things, and I love to hear you talking about Bill O'Brien and what he's been doing there. But boy, I do hesitate about getting too excited because of some of the other guys have come along, and I appreciate your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that? Is that and I was thinking about this watching Johnny Dawkins lead Stanford to the NIT championship.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been a great lineage of Duke assistants under Mike Krzyzewski that have gone on to great things.
Right.
Tommy Amaker stumbled at Seton Hall. He stumbled at Michigan. Now he appears to have found some stride, mm-hmm. to his credit, with Harvard.
Right.
Johnny Dawkins is doing pretty well with Stanford, but to go from an NIT championship to the next level, he's going to have to do that. So sometimes it doesn't work out. I think what we do is I like to take things on an individual basis.
Sure.
And on an individual basis, what do they walk into? What do they inherit? Because that's their starting point. Charlie Weiss actually walked into a fairly decent situation at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And good quarterback in Brady Quinn. Had some decent talent on offense, but no speed on defense.
Right.
They got away with it. Okay. When everybody caught up to him his second year, and now he's using Jimmy Clausen, a true freshman at quarterback, and he still has the same lack of speed on defense, he couldn't go anywhere, and he didn't recruit well enough to get it done. Now, Josh McDaniels went from one NFL job. He went to the Broncos, became head coach. Okay. Yeah, he inherited what he had, and he was, a little more than a year and a half?
Yeah.
All right. Romeo Crennel, the Cleveland Browns?
Right, right.
Yeah. Now we'll find out what he can do with the Kansas City Chiefs. What he had. Yeah. And sometimes you need it when you go to a second place. You've learned a lot from your first experience. And Bill Belichick is a perfect example of that.
Sure, absolutely.
In Cleveland, they are throwing no parades for Bill Belichick.
Absolutely not.
All right, they aren't, even though he got them to the playoffs once. Now he gets to the Patriots, new life, some experience behind him as to what he did right and what he wasn't comfortable with in Cleveland, and now he's done a better job of applying it in New England. For Bill O'Brien, it's his first time through. He's going to make his own imprint on the program. And I think it's important for Bill O'Brien to be Bill O'Brien and not be thought of in the same vein as Charlie Weiss or Josh McDaniels, Romeo Crennel, and certainly not Joe Paterno. He just needs to be Bill O'Brien, put his own imprint, see what happens. I think he's off to a good start recruiting-wise. I think he's off to a good start in terms of gaining the respect of his team right away.
Yeah, and hearing you say that, and obviously I'm not close to it to see what the workings going on there, mm-hmm. during the practice and stuff, and it's encouraging. Because the other name I was thinking too is Eric Mangini,
right?
And the difference there, I thought at least the undertone there was that Belichick was advising him not to go so quickly. Didn't think he was ready to take on the Jets when he did, and then of course he left there to go to Cleveland, and that didn't work out either. But so, yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic, but also there's that tag that's hanging on me that's saying, let's hope for the best, and that's what you do, I guess. I mean,
right,
what else
exactly.
can you do?
Exactly, and as Bill always says, he said, I haven't won a game yet, and I said to him the other day, I said, well, you haven't lost one either.
There you go.
So.
It's a good point, and I've been sitting on that for a little while, and I'm glad that guy called because I was like, I don't want to be don't want to come at it too hard, but I mean, that's just kind of some thoughts I was having. So he kind of initiated that in my own thinking as well. And like I said, that's what I appreciate with the show. I know you're, you know, you got the inside and what's going on, and it definitely leaves everyone feeling very encouraged as we make this transition from, you know, the Joe Paterno era to Bill O'Brien.
And I think everybody's going to give him a chance, and that's the most important part. And then it'll be up to him. Proof will be in the pudding. I'm optimistic the pudding will end up being pretty good, but with anything, it's going to take some time for all of us to know exactly. It getting a new coach is akin to getting a recruit. You judge the recruit over a period of time, and then you find out whether the guy was successful or not. The same thing here. Well, he has a chance to put his own program in place, and he'll come out of the gate. He'll do certain things. He'll do them well. There'll be some days that may not be so great, maybe. And at the same time, over a period of time, he'll develop his own program. And when he does, I'm optimistic it'll be a very good one.
Good. Well, like I said, that's good to hear, and I appreciate that and appreciate your insight. And, again, I'm good friends with Kevin, so maybe this was the best time to call, too. And I could call when Kevin's on a little bit of a break or whatever he may be doing.
Yes, he's
twittering, I'm sure.
He's at an undisclosed location in the mountains.
and no one's looking for him, so he's not going to be found anytime soon, I'm sure.
And I think that's discouraging to him. I think he was kind of hoping we would look.
Yeah. Hopefully he doesn't have that orange shirt on, so he's not blending in with the rustic look of the spring season.
I'll tell you right now, I mean, he's a guy who always looks like he's dressed for deer season. All right, thanks so much. Thanks, Pat.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate
All right. Ron Musselman is next. We'll talk to him right after this on WKOK.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
This is Hollywood, where the 80s are in the house, Saturday, April 14th, with a special performance featuring the Idol Kings, playing all your favorite songs from rock and roll legend John Mellencamp, including Pink Houses, Hurts So Good, Cherry Bomb, and Jack and Diane. Don't miss the Idol Kings at Hollywood Casino, where the stage is set and the whole cast is here. From the crowd-pleasing chefs in the kitchen to the movers and shakers on the dance floor, from the dealers directing the action to the blockbuster winners and breakout stars, here you've got the lead role, because there's no place like Hollywood Casino. Just minutes from Harrisburg and Hershey, take I-81 to exit 80. Must be 21 or older to enter the casino or attend concert. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-565-2112 for help.
Hi, this is Dave Moyer for the Benjamin T. Moyer Furniture Store in Sunbury, and I'm pleased to tell you our 77th anniversary celebration continues through April with special savings throughout our store. If you're looking for quality, made-in-America furniture, then please visit our website at moyersfurniture.com. You'll see an American flag next to all the companies we're proud to sell that are made in America. If you purchased a sofa from our store and took it apart, you'd soon see the reasons why our sofas look better, last longer, and age more gracefully. In short, it's their quality. The 8-way hand-tied coil spring construction, polydacron seat cushions, all hardwood frames in the glued, screwed, and double-doweled corners. Since 1935, we've achieved over 99% customer satisfaction, making us one of the most respected furniture stores in Pennsylvania. This April, please visit the Benjamin T. Moyer Furniture Store, 35 South 4th Street in Sunbury, for quality made-in-America furniture on sale now.
Every day, get expert insight on the market and the economy and how both can impact your finances and investments with the Wall Street Journal Report on WKOK. You'll also get coverage of major global stories, political events, medical breakthroughs, emerging technology, and more. Listen for the Wall Street Journal Report weekday mornings at 25 after and 5 minutes before the hour from 6 to 8:30. Then, hear more insightful coverage weekday afternoons from 5 to 7. Weekend mornings, catch the report Saturdays in the 9 o'clock hour and Sundays in the 10 o'clock hour. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to the show, and it's great to have with us one of my favorite people that I've enjoyed working on the Penn State beat for many, many years, Ron Musselman, for many years with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, but now in this changing world of media, great to have him here at statecollege.com, and as I mentioned, without question, one of my favorites on this beat for many years, who I've been very fortunate to call a good friend for many years. Ron, great to have you with us.
Hey, nice to be back there, Steve. It's been a while. The last time we did this, we had an enjoyable time that went very fast.
So. It went very fast, yeah. Looking forward to it. Let's get to this. The practices have been open a little bit. And we've had an opportunity to at least hear, you know, see what's been going on. You've had an opportunity, so it's been a little more open than usual. How have you found the access to be so far?
Well, I think the access has been a little better as far as practice goes. Now, I don't think the player access has been much different. Now I say that, though, I see there's an availability Friday afternoon where there's several players available. But to this point, I don't think the player access has been that great. Been lots of Bill O'Brien. He's in the community everywhere. I mean, everywhere you go, there's Bill O'Brien. He's the Chamber of Commerce. He's the APSD Sports Editors meeting this morning. He might be talking to the guy at Bellefonte High School. He might be eating a hoagie at Subway. I mean, he's all over the place.
Far, do you at least like the approach as to how he
handles it? It actually starts.
Yeah, everyone has the honeymoon period. We know that. And then he's going through that right now. Of course, he's going through that honeymoon period while he's trying to install more to go. When you did the story on him, and you did extensive...
And a lot of the same things, too. It's just so unusual to have a coach that's around for 62 years, 46 years as the head coach. So everything seems different now because it's been so long since there's been any change at Penn State in football. So I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are saying it's nice to see the change, you know, and a lot of people are talking about Penn State's recruiting and how great Bill O'Brien is doing, you know, not to be cynical, but it helps when all your assistant coaches are recruiting. Penn State hasn't had that for years, you know, only about half the staff are going actively on the road. So I think it makes it a lot easier when you have all your coaches out there and doing the job. I think it makes it's a transition a little easier. And I think a lot of people are surprised, but I'm not really, because they've got everybody out on the road now. So I think that makes a big difference.
When you go to a practice, for example, whatever time it happens to be, whether it's a limited view or more extended, what are you looking for?
That's a good idea. That's a good question. I mean, Steve, what am I looking for? I'm looking to see what people I recognize. I'm looking to see who's bigger. Things have jumped out at me. Adam Gress is big. Offensive lineman. He's big. I see kids. I mean, I see guys who have improved in the weight program. You look and you say, oh, there's Paul Jones. Can he maintain his academic? But no, he's too snippy with people. I find him actually kind of enjoyable because he came in as a big underdog, came in as a kid who's a walk-on. How many walk-ons start for Division I program? Not very many. So I think you kind of have to have a chip on your shoulder to be at that point. I like his feistiness. I do. I personally do. Rob Bolton, we haven't heard from him in about a year and a half, so it seems like it. So who knows? But I'm hearing he's having a good camp from different people. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to that quarterback. That's things I look at. I also noticed the last time was open practice, how many times the tight ends lined up in the backfield, just like the Patriots. I mean, you have as much chance of seeing a tight end in the backfield as you do a fullback. It's a traditional way Penn State's done it this year. So there's going to be a lot of changes like that people are going to have to get used to.
Well, if you're the Denver Broncos, you saw Aaron Hernandez line up at tailback. The heck with fullback?
Yeah, you're right. There's going to be a lot of things like that to change. I think Penn State's going to be stronger. I think the weight program's going to improve. Going to improve a little bit of the push on the offensive line. I mean, Penn State's had a, you know, I mean, I think that's going to change some. I think kids are going to be a little stronger. I think it'll help some kids maybe be a little quicker. So, I mean, there's a lot of changes. And like I say, when you've had the same coach for so long, every change seems dramatic. And it is, just because it's been so long since there's been any change.
And it's not like they aren't doing some things that are similar, because they are doing some things similar. And the reason being is you don't reinvent the wheel.
Still wearing the same helmets, still wearing the same uniforms. I mean, pretty much, you know, everything's going to be the same. I think a lot of people think it's a fresh look, like I said, just because it's a new coach. And it's been so long of that. And things, people do things a little bit differently, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad, you know what I mean? So I think the change is good, but there's still going to be a lot of the, you know, they're just going to throw out all the things they did under Joe. I mean, you just don't sweep that under the rug. I mean, there's still going to be a lot of history that went to Joe for a long, long time.
Ron, stay with us for a little bit longer after the news.
Yep, no problem.
All right, go have more with Ron Musselman, StayCollege.com, in a few moments. But first, at the bottom of the hour on WKOK, Sarah Bartlett with the news as we continue with Ron Musselman after this on WKOK. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and also Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. One of these days, we're going to bring Ron Musselman over to the Sunbury Motors studio so you can sit here live and enjoy the ambiance of it here.
Well, that's good. I was just wondering what time that tea time is, if you had any extra openings.
It'd be great. I'd love to take you out to the course with it. We get rid of Kevin Herr, we'll get you in there. I like that. And I'll tell you right now, the wildlife would be thrilled about the move, too.
Oh, geez, that wouldn't be good, would it? Jeez, that would maybe running for cover.
Well, let's get to, we talked about Penn State football, and I've talked about how you've been around and you've covered so many things in the course of your career, and one of the reasons why you and I have been friends for a long time, have great...
That's the scary part there, Steve.
I know. That's very scary. What have you covered over the years that you really enjoyed, and what beat did you cover, Ron, where you felt you learned the most about your craft and your profession?
That's a good question, because I've done Super Bowls and World Series and all that. Actually, one of the coolest things, I'm not even a race fan, covering the Indy 500 is one of the really neat experiences. It's just a different atmosphere. The people outside, people inside, totally different. But that was pretty neat. I've covered Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. There are not many people who cover those three schools in the Big Ten. That's been a thing. I've seen all three major programs. Of course, now it's Nebraska, but I've seen all three major programs. I covered Lloyd Carr. I covered Jim Tressel. I covered Joe Paterno. That's three of the giants in Big Ten football. So that was pretty cool. I covered Jim Leland in baseball, where you can quote about every other word he says, but a great guy. I mean, he's. I found that very amazing. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things you can do. You know, I've covered the national championship when Penn State won in 1987. I've covered Steelers Super Bowls. I mean, there's just a lot of things. There's a lot of things out there. I think everything teaches you something different, Steve. I think you'll learn how to become a reporter. You learn how to get news. And I think you only learn that through experience. I mean, you know, 30 years in the business has taught me a lot of good things. I think when you're a young kid, you think you know everything, but you don't really. And you finally figure that out probably about 10 years into it, that you still have a lot to learn. And I'm still learning to this day. I mean, these young kids I have working for me, they all teach me something. I mean, they know a lot of stuff. Technology's changing so fast that you have to adapt.
Also along the way, and I mentioned you're now with StayCollege.com, which is an indicator, above all, of how much media has changed. Now, I know what you were, some of the things you were doing at the Post-Gazette, you were also doing some video on top of what you were doing with newspaper. Give us an idea, just in the last 10 years, how your particular profession, journalism, has changed.
Wow, last 10 years. Boy, how many hours do you have? Last 10 years. We could do about the last
10 weeks. I mean, it's changing so much. For instance, when I first broke into it in 1981, my first job in Clearfield, Pennsylvania, we didn't even have a Sunday paper. To cover Penn State games, you write about them on Monday. There was no internet. There was no cell phone. You didn't even have a computer at that point. So that's 1981. Then we fast forward to, you know, the transition through different kinds of computers. You know, then you had the suction cups where you stuck the phone, and as far as any kind of outside noise, you couldn't send your story in from a game. So, I mean, there's so much transition to now. It's so easy to just email it, or you just post it yourself. You can just go right onto the site, post it yourself. It's changed so much. And the Facebook and Twitter. I mean, if you're a news person or a sports person covering news now, you have to be on Twitter, because that's the fastest breaking news thing there is. Some people are wrong on Twitter, but I mean, there's a lot of good information on there. That's where most people, well, you have to be. It's an essential to being on there. Who owns the place? He started his website with no content on it until about 2 years ago. He started in 1986, so he's got a pretty good jump on people as far as the technology, and he's way ahead of also the Fed here. Yeah, I've been accused of that quite a few times. Yeah, I have done that. I've written a few that I thought maybe afterward. One thing I always try to do is get both sides. I think you have to wait. I'm trying to think what year this would have been. What happened was I was going through a divorce at the time. This is a kind of a cool story. And Chuck Noll, I was covering the Steelers then, found out about it. And Noll always had this thing that, oh, he wouldn't pay attention to reporters and he didn't care what they say. Well, he came into the media room one day and just said, hey, I hear you're having a tough time. He handed me an envelope. So I never told anybody about it. Never said a word about it. When he went into the Hall of Fame, I wrote a column saying that all these people would say that Chuck Noll treated the media unfairly. I wrote a column saying, relating my experience, that when I was down on my luck the most, he handed me an envelope, opened it up, it was $500 in it. This is back 20 years ago. So, and then I got a really nice handwritten letter from him saying, hey, you didn't have to do that, you didn't have to bring it up, but I really appreciate it. So it just shows you that's why I won an actual award for it. Just not because of that, but people talk about you can't do things right. That's one that I'm glad I wrote, because that was heartfelt. It was one of those ones that you rarely get to write, you know. And it just I thought it was necessary because of just all the gruff he used to take for. He always treated me fine. I mean, he always treated me. I was a young kid. He didn't care if you were from the Latrobe Bowl or the Pittsburgh Press. He treated you the same respect. Might not tell you much, but he treated everyone the same. That's what I liked the most about him.
You mentioned the surprise of the envelope. Any other personalities along the way that people would be familiar with where you'd say, you know what, you'd be surprised this guy is like?
Oh, I think there's a lot of people who are down on Stan Melinda, who's from State College, and of course he was involved in the Pirates the last time, you know, they lost the Braves in 92 and didn't make it to the World Series. A lot of people blame him. I ran into him a year ago. There couldn't be a nicer guy in the world. I mean, a lot of people think that you know, that he's not a great guy, there couldn't be a nicer guy around. I mean, Stan Melinda's a great guy. That's somebody people around here definitely know. Along the way, there's been a lot of good people. I mean, there have been a lot of, I'm trying to think of guys like Hines Ward, good guys with Steelers. I mean, a lot of people, you know, people like to drag people down. I thought Hines Ward is a good guy. Todd Blackledge is a good guy. Kurt Warner is a good guy. Kurt Warner, the Penn State football player. I mean, you can get a lot of these guys on the phone, you know. And I remember when I was in college, Penn State didn't used to have football dorms. On my floor was Booker Moore, Mike Mead, Joe Coles. I still keep in contact with Mike Mead and some of the players from that floor. Sean Farrell. I mean, these guys were on our floor because there weren't football dorms then. So you got to know them and you laughed. And, you know, you got all kinds of good scoops back then, way back then, because they'd always be talking about it. So there's a lot of people along the way. I mean, like I said, Jim Leland, great guy. I mean, you know, that guy's taken a couple teams to the World Series and won the World Series. I'd call him tomorrow and he'd call me back. I mean, it's things like that. Then there's some people who never call you back, but that's just the way they are, you know. But there's a lot of good people. I'd say the good way far outweighs the bad.
Right. No question about it. Was there ever a beat that you worked on, and not because of a particular individual or whatever,
where it surprised you, where in the end you thought, you know what, I didn't enjoy that as much as I thought I would?
Oh, absolutely. And I can tell you, with the University of Toledo basketball, I was covering them, I'm just going to be about 2003, and this is why I didn't enjoy it. I wrote a story, which is hard to do in a place like that, about the fact that they hadn't graduated anyone in 3 years. So, of course, that didn't get me off. I mean, it took all kinds of stuff to finally get it in the paper. And the coach hated me, and, you know, it just kind of went downhill from there. But it was a story that needed written. And it was long 3 years, but the benefit was you got to cover their football, which was pretty good at the time. And it was not enjoyable at all. It was just miserable. But odd the way strange things go now, that the same coach who didn't graduate anyone 3 years is now an assistant principal in high school. So figure that out.
What goes around comes around. That's incredible.
it would even be a better story now, but I've moved past that. But yeah, I mean, how does the guy become an assistant principal when he doesn't graduate anyone in college?
That's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah. For you,
stories like that.
You take this career path. Now you're in State College, for example. And you've moved around all over the place. What is it about the State College community that you found attractive, where you say, you know, I'd like to sit down here and work with this group?
Well, I think you reach a point in your career where you figure that you've done about all you can do. I mean, the World Series, I've covered just about everything you can possibly cover, U.S. Open golf tournaments, that kind of stuff. I think you finally reach a point where you're like, okay, I had all these people who taught me. I mean, I think growing up, there was a guy named Charlie Feeney who wrote for the Pittsburgh papers, was a great, taught me all kinds of stuff. A guy named Rick Starr, who graduated from Penn State, was once my second boss, really helped me along the way. Ed Bouchette, who covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette, helped me along the way. So now it's my turn to help kids. And, you know, my staff is 19, 22, 23, and 23. That's good with me, though, because it's a chance to help mold them into, you know, if I can help them become better people and better writers, then that's all good. I mean, that's the way you gotta look at it. It's like being a teacher, same thing. If you can teach them how to get stories, who to call, who to contact, that gives you some enjoyment. And you reach that point where it's time to do that. I felt it was that point in my career to do that.
There are certain things you can teach. The one thing you can't teach is instinct. And you can see that within somebody right away. On your young staff, do you sense instinct right away?
Yeah, I do. I do. I have one kid that's very good. For 23. You know, I mean, you got to put it in the realm. And I have a young lady on my staff she's 22, but she gets it. I mean, she gets it. I just got to, you know, lead them in the right direction, give them the numbers I have, tell them to stick with it, don't give up on a story, because there have been many stories I've given up on. You never know when you're going to get that phone call. You know, I mean, you got to have everyone's cell phone numbers, because you're not going to get them at home anymore. I mean, those days ended a long time ago. I mean, I remember, Steve, back when I broke into it, kind of switching gears. I remember breaking in. You'd call the sports information people at colleges to get stats for your kids. They get back to you 3 days later. Okay. Now you can look it up in a matter of like 9 seconds. I mean, and having put it right in your story. That's the kind of stuff that's changed so much. You know, because back then they really weren't geared towards, you know, giving you stats and stuff. And now they're so predominant, you get too many of them now, as I'm sure you agree. I mean, there's so many stats now, it's like, oh my God, U.S. Sports Bureau has a stat for everything.
Well, you know where I've changed over the years, Ron? I've really changed over the years personally, because I always worked hard like you just said, you and I had to work hard if we wanted to find stats. Now it's so readily available. I have found myself over the time using fewer of them, but being more judicious when I do use them.
Oh, I totally agree. There's so many out there now. And I love the people. I love the people who say, well, you can read anything you want into stats. Okay, I agree with you. But if you've lost 9 in a row on the road, that's a pretty pertinent stat. I mean, so that's what cracks me up. People say, that's a pertinent stat to me. You know, the fact that the guy's hitting hitting 220 against left-handers when it's 92 degrees or above. Who cares? I mean, there's so many innocuous stats. It's like, oh, my goodness. But you hear these people spewing them out, and you're like, who cares? It's just like all your friends on Facebook who say, that, oh, I just went out for a run. Oh, great. Thanks for updating me. What, you know, poor people who log into that Foursquare to tell you they're eating an elk burger at the Elk Cafe or something. I mean, who cares? It's gotten too personal, Steve.
Well, it has.
Steve Jones has checked into the radio booth at Beaver Stadium. Okay, thanks, Steve.
We assumed you were eventually going to show anyway, Steve.
You know, some people may say, now maybe it would be a story that says Steve Jones just checked out of the radio booth like the third quarter. That would not be good, Steve.
That actually would be a legitimate story.
But you know what I mean? There's too much now. There's too much. You don't need all this information.
My friend, it was just a great pleasure having you on. Again, this will be obviously a recurring thing, as you and I both know, but we always have a great time when we're together. And thanks for the insight that you gave us, because I wanted to take everybody into what you do, because there'll be time down the road for opinions on what's happening around here. But I think you gave us insight into how things have changed over the years in your profession.
And you never can take yourself seriously. When you think you've known everything, that's what's
going to
jump up and bite you.
Oh, my goodness. If that isn't the truth, nothing is. Because the second you start saying, hey, I'm doing pretty good, is the second you're going down the hill fast.
Rolling backwards toward the water.
rolling backwards toward the water with no paddle.
Reminds me of one last funny story, Steve. Real fast, we were in high school baseball, and this one kid came over. He struck out, and he went to kick the bench. And he missed it. He hit it and upset the bench. Everyone went rolling backwards down the hill. And there was a stream back there. No one rolled into it. But that's kind of the way we're spinning out of control. So yeah. We got to get upright and keep it there.
Hey, Ron, again, thanks so much. Enjoyed it very much, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Yep. Okay. Thanks, Steve.
All right, Ron Musselman, he, without question, one of the best. We'll come back and close out the show in a moment here on WKOK.
Why choose Evenlink? Here's why. Even faster access, even better customer service, and even lower prices. Switch from expensive cable to Evenlink's TV, phone, and internet service. Get high-speed internet, all digital TV, plus your local channels with free high def. Add unlimited phone service, plus keep your same number. Packages starting from $75 per month. All three from $75 per month total, plus tax. Why pay more? It's the same TV stations, the same web pages, and the same phone service, but from Evenlink. For a lot less money. You could save $1,000 per year when you switch. Don't wait. Start saving today. No phone line in the house? Don't worry. Evenlink has the technology to bring you DSL only to the home. Call today and Evenlink will waive the $35 installation fee too. That's right. Free installation. A friendly, helpful, and local company for over 15 years. Evenlink. Even faster access. Even better customer service. Even lower prices. Call Evenlink at 988-1800. That's 988-1800 for Evenlink.
Is your home looking old, tired, and sad? Wish you could find someone to do some plastic surgery? Then what you need is coming to the Susquehanna Valley Mall, April 20th through the 22nd. Just stop in the 2012 Home Show and see all the fine folks who can help you. Everyone from water conditioning experts, window pros, construction companies, home builders, and woodcrafters, to kitchen specialists, solar energy pros, basement finishers, and more will be there. Plus, you could win a playhouse built by Sun Area Technical Institute. Visit our website for more info.
See American Dream Home Solutions, Brookside Homes, Buffalo Valley Repair, Sea Atlantic Waterproofing, Closets Plus, Comfort Specialists, Culligan Water Conditioning, Dale Wolf Kitchens, Designer Homes, Expert Home Builders, Finelli Window Pros, Hans Cedardale Satellites, JNS Technology Solutions, Lenape Solar, Lewisburg Builder Supply, Mid-Atlantic Waterproofing, Owens Corning Basement Finishing Systems, Paul Q. Ross Construction, Robert M. Sides, The Decorating Center, Vision Home Builders LLC, Wayne Stahl Windows, Weaver's Woodcraft, and Window World. Sponsored by News Radio 1070 WKOK.
One way or another, healthcare is being fundamentally redesigned in this country. I'm Dr. Glenn Steele, President and CEO of Geisinger Health System, with a continuing discussion on improving health care. Why will health care be redesigned? It currently costs too much. There is no wide application of best practice or evidence-based care. and we simply cannot continue with a system that provides care that may not benefit patients. So where are we headed? Affordable coverage for all, payment for value in healthcare delivery rather than for quantity, commitment to best practice coordinated care, and patients taking an active role in their good health and treatment. A healthier America is within reach. For Geisinger Health System, I'm Dr. Glenn Steele.
Weekdays from 10 a.m. till noon, join Dan Patrick on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
That's something you got to think about. Who would play you in a movie?
Jason Bateman. Not that I had that answer ready.
And you're about what? Are you 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'3".
I'm not sure what he is, but most actors you see on television, you think they're 6 foot and they're like 5'6".
They're stumpy. Who would you, I'm thinking? Dude. For you. Jason Statham.
Statham, that's what I was going to say.
Right. Dan will talk all things sports and more. Dan Patrick, weekdays 10 till noon and again from 7 to 10 p.m. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.
All right, final segment of the show. Thanks for all the calls today. Enjoyed it very much. This is day two of Show in Crisis. Kevin Herr missing. All right, he's on vacation. Sunning himself someplace where the police don't know about it. But thanks for all the calls today. We appreciate it very much. And also our thanks to Ron Musselman for joining us on the show. Ron, terrific, as always. And tomorrow we'll have Mark Brennan, Fight on State. And then Thursday, Jason Dombach will join us. Then Friday, we'll do that big preview show featuring the Big Ten. You know, just when you thought you wouldn't hear Brady Hoke and Urban Meyer on the station, you're going to hear them. It's one of the goals of doing it like this. And we'll also have Bill O'Brien and Jordan Hill on as well, updating you on how things have gone for the Nittany Lions to this point. Practice number 8 coming up tomorrow, 9 on Friday, and 10 on Saturday. The Blue-White game is a week from Saturday at Beaver Stadium. And the advance forecast, but these things are 10 days out, looks good. We'll see how it plays out. As we get closer, obviously, we'll give you a better and more accurate forecast. And don't forget, Joe Lundberg will be on. My good friend Joe Lundberg, by the way. Joe Lundberg and I go back almost 25 years. And he's on with Mark Lawrence every morning here on WKOK. Lundberg. And nothing like seeing Lundberg ride around town in his pink shirt. Lumber's done a lot of bike riding in the last, I'd say 3 years. And I mean he does a lot of bike riding. Joe does, I think he puts in, he'll put in 50 miles. He is taking it seriously, and he's dropped a lot of LBs along the way. He has dropped some weight along the way to the point he looks good. He looks good. Best he's looked in years. And, So get Dr. Lundberg on, and he will update us on the forecast as we go through the next 10 days as we get ready for, obviously, the Blue-White game at Beaver Stadium. Highly anticipated Blue-White game at Beaver Stadium. So don't forget tomorrow, day 3, Show in Crisis, the Kevin Herr situation. We understand Nightline wants to do a special. 11:30 on most of your local ABC stations. Where is Kevin Herr? Now, some would say, is it a Where's Waldo situation? I don't think we need to be cruel about that on the show. Do you? I think we'll wait till he comes back next week, and that would be cruel to his face. I think that's more fun for all of us. Gives you the caller a chance to. Sarah Bartlett coming up next.
Hi, I'm Michael Smirkanish, and you're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK AM in Sunbury.